So many women these days are feeling like they're out of balance because they're thinking and behaving like men. The Feminine Art of Balance program brings women back to their center, back to their femininity, so that they can feel more comfortable, more balanced, and much happier as they create the life that they deserve and get all of the things that they want. This is going to be good. So why don't you come along with me? It's Fab Life Radio with Shauna Renee. How are you? Welcome to the Fab Life and welcome to another year. It is 2016. My name is Shauna Renee and I'm here. It took me a little while, but we finally got it together. And I am so happy that those of you who have been with me for some time have been so patient. I appreciate it, actually. And I'm really excited that there are so many of you who may be new to me and the work that I do and the Fab Life, that you have entrusted me with at least 20 minutes of your time, and hopefully this podcast will become a regular part of your weekly routine. So for folks who are new, I just want to take a couple of seconds to introduce myself, to tell you a little bit about myself. So as I said, my name is Shauna Renee, and I've been a broadcaster now for almost 20 years. I've been broadcasting domestically here in the U.S., and then for the last 10 years, about internationally via satellite radio. And in addition to that, I also happen to be a certified holistic health counselor. I'm a certified life coach. I'm a yoga instructor. I'm a friend. I'm a lover. I'm a sister. I'm a daughter. But the thing that means the most to me, my most important job, it sounds cliche, I know, but it's true, is that of mother. I am the biological mother to a 9-year-old boy. And I also have godchildren and, you know, all kinds of nieces and nephews. There are a lot of children in my village that I feel partly responsible for. And I take my role as mother very, very seriously, which is why I spend a tremendous amount of time collecting information and resources and ideas and inspiration on how to parent. Because one of the most important things for me is to make sure that I am able to guide my son and all the rest of the children around me along the path of what I call divine purpose and realization. So what I'm trying to do is to help them understand how they can best move through the world, how they can become useful, productive members of society, how they can grow to become good men and women, good husbands and wives, good mothers and fathers, good employers and employees, you know, good citizens. This is really what I believe my divine purpose is in life, or at least part of it. So, as I say, I do everything that I can to get as many different perspectives on parenting as possible. And I have a group of phenomenal men and women, people in my circle, that I will often sit down over coffee or tea or wine or whiskey. You know, we do. And we talk about what it means to be a parent. We talk about the things that we do differently than our parents did with us, or we talk about the lessons that we learned from our parents that we are passing along to our children. And I'm going to tell you, I think one of the most important things that I've learned in parenting a child is the power of words. And I recently came across an article from a blog that was on my Facebook feed. The blog was babyandblog.com, and it mentioned this study that was done that determined by the age of 4, the average child from a family on welfare would hear 125,000 more words of discouragement than encouragement when compared to the 560,000 more words of praise as opposed to discouragement that a child from a high-income family will receive. And the author said, you know, not only do these kids hear fewer words, but much of the words that they hear are negative. And even though the researchers didn't go into race, it is important that parents of color take heed and hopefully gain some insight from the study. And it reminded me of this old saying that I'm sure we're all familiar with from childhood, that sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that's what, you know, teachers and parents used to say when they would say, don't worry about what other people say to you. What other people say to you doesn't matter. You know, what other people think of you really is what they're saying doesn't matter. And while there is some truth to that, we do have to be mindful that though words cannot physically harm us, words have a tremendous impact on our psyche, on the way that we see ourselves and the way that we move through the world. If you are constantly being beat down and discouraged and told that you don't matter and that you're stupid or whatever, you're going to begin to believe that and you're going to act like someone who believes that. And that's going to have a negative impact on your life from that point forward. Conversely, if you're told that you're smart and you're beautiful and you matter and you have the power and ability to do anything that you want in the world, is yours, then you're going to move through the world believing that, and you're going to start to see how the world just kind of opens up for you and things start to happen. It is in these early years, and by early years, I'm going to say from like 12, birth to 12, that we begin to condition our children to think either negatively or positively about themselves. And so it is so important that we speak words of encouragement to our children. But in addition to speaking words of encouragement, it is also so important that we help our children understand the world around them, that we feed their curiosity, which brings me to something that I and some of the folks around me often disagree about. So let me just tell you this story. So I am, I'm sitting on the couch. This is a couple of days after the holidays, and my son finds a bag of marshmallows, and these marshmallows were left over from a party that we had had earlier in the year. And so he comes to me and he says, Ma, can I have some of these marshmallows? And I said, no. And he asked me why. Now, the people that were around me, a couple of them, you could see like their mouths dropped. And I explained to him why. And then he left. And then, you know, this conversation ensued where folks were saying, well, he asked you why? Like, seriously, I don't let my child ask me why. If my child asks me why, the answer is because I said so. It's disrespectful for a child to question the parent. And I said, well, okay, I understand that to a point, but I don't believe that asking why is necessarily disrespectful. In fact, I believe that asking why is probably one of the most important things a child can do as he grows and learns and develops. See, in my coaching, I coach women, and we are often trying to get to the core of an issue, a problem, trying to find answers to questions, trying to gain clarity. And in doing so, I encourage them to ask themselves why. In fact, I have a method that I call 5 times why, which is anytime you are trying to get to the bottom of the problem, you ask yourself why over and over again, at least 5 times. Sometimes you may have to ask 50 times. So, you know, it's like, you know, I really want to be in a relationship. Why? Because I'm lonely. Well, you know, why does being in a relationship, why do you believe being in a relationship will cure your loneliness? Why? You just keep asking yourself why. And then eventually you get to the bottom of it. And then when you get to the bottom of it, when you get to the core of an issue, you gain understanding of what is really going on, then you can begin the work of actually creating solutions. Why is so important? Why is not a sign of disrespect. It's a sign of curiosity. We should be encouraging our children to ask why. The sky is blue. Why? The grass is green. Why? You know, there's war. Why? There are people out in the streets marching. Why? We always should encourage our children to ask why. Why is not a sign of disrespect. It's a sign of curiosity. I've always encouraged my son to ask why when he didn't understand something. So going back to the example that I brought up earlier, when he came to me and asked if he could have marshmallows and I said no, and he asked me why, I explained to him that the reason he couldn't have the marshmallows was because they were chock full of sugar, and sugar will rot his teeth. Sugar will have him bouncing off the walls. Sugar will make him fat and unhealthy. And that over the course of time, it could cause diabetes. I broke it down for him. Why? Because I needed him to have an understanding of why eating marshmallows or drinking soda or eating candy would eventually be to his detriment. Because if I didn't explain this to him, if he did not have this information, then when he went out into the world and had an opportunity to eat marshmallows, eat candy, and drink soda, he would do it without any knowledge and without any conscience. And then when he ends up fat with rotten teeth and diabetes, then I have to then look at myself and say, damn, Shauna, you didn't even teach that child better. He asked you why back when he was 9 years old, and your response was, because I said so. And the second he got in a situation where you weren't there to say yes or no, he went on and did what he wanted to do. Now, that's not to say that he won't do that anyway, but at least I've done my part. At least I've planted the seed, and hopefully it will eventually grow. And you know what? Every time he asks me for some sugary snack, I give him the same explanation. I see, here's the thing when it comes to disrespect in children. You know, my respect is not that fragile. I've never been the kind of parent that believes that a child has the power to somehow strip me of respect. You are a child. You cannot disrespect me. You're disrespecting yourself, maybe. You're being a little out. You may be a little out of line, perhaps. You may need some correction, but you're not disrespecting me. I always have respect. I command it no matter what. And I don't have to scream at you or holler at you or deny you an explanation in order to feel respected. And see, this is the problem that I believe we have in our community. Our children, every little thing that they do, we feel is a form of disrespect. And we don't even realize that a lot of what they're doing is perfectly natural. They're curious. They're trying to understand. Now, I'm talking about young children, not 15, 16-year-olds. You know, they can be a little funny sometimes, and you might have to deal with them or handle them a little differently. But again, I say, I don't believe that why is a form of disrespect. It is a sign of curiosity. So why, there we go, why are we so taken aback and disrespected when our children ask us why? Why do we clutch our pearls and ball up our fists and get ready to smack the shit out of a kid when they ask us why? Pardon my language. Sorry, elders. I'm just trying to keep it real here. Well, there are many reasons. One of which is because it's how we've been taught. It's how we've been raised. It's ingrained in our DNA because of where some of us have come from. You see, our great, great, great grandmothers knew that questioning authority could mean trouble. Serious trouble. In some instances, it could mean death. So as a child, you were taught you don't question authority, and authority was in the form of an overseer. It was in the form of a slave master. It was in the form of whoever owned the land that we were sharecropping. It was in the form of police who had the power to make us disappear. And that kind of seems to be the case these days, too. But you understand what I'm saying. Questioning authority, even if it was a legitimate question, could mean trouble. But that should not be the case when it comes to your parents. It should not be the case in the safety and security. What should be the safety and security of your own home? See, if you go into a classroom and do this sometimes, go into your child's classroom and you'll realize that when a child doesn't understand something, the teacher encourages them to ask questions. You've been in a classroom. So if the teacher says, you know, we need to do this, or we're going to do this, or we need to understand this, and a student says, well, why? Then the teacher takes the time to explain. I would never want my child in a classroom where, you know, the teacher says, okay, well, we're going to concentrate on algebra. And my son says, well, why are we learning algebra? And then the teacher says, because I said so. Hell no. I don't want my child in an environment like that. That is not an environment in which my child will learn anything. And I'm not going to create that kind of environment at home. I'm going to create the kind of environment where my child asks why and my child gets information. Now, am I going to ask, am I going to answer the question why 100 times? No. I mean, at some point it has to stop. But right off the bat, very first why, am I going to shut my kid down and say, because I said so, now go do what I say? Absolutely not, because I'm not helping my child in any way doing that. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand? Now, here's the other reason. A lot of times, let's just keep it real, parents. We don't even really have a good reason. We don't have a good reason for saying why. Sometimes we say no because we're too lazy to do whatever we have to do to facilitate what our children want to do. So the child wants to go outside, but you know, you got to go outside to watch them. Mom, can I go outside? No. Why? Because I said so. No, the answer is because I'm too lazy to get my ass off this couch and go out here and watch you. Sometimes that is the reason why. And we just don't want to say that because we know we don't need to say that. Or we don't know how to explain that in a way that our children will understand. And we don't care to actually try to figure it out. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody's parenting, because the one thing I do know, despite my own thoughts and beliefs, is that there is no one size fits all method to parenting. You know your child better than I do. I know my child better. But what I'm trying to do is hopefully inspire you to look at things differently. Because being a mother, a father, is the most important job that you'll ever have. This is our future. These are the people who are going to take care of you. These are the people who are going to be responsible for making laws that will affect you as an older person. Look at what they're trying to do with Social Security now. There are folks up here on Capitol Hill who are trying to strip their own parents of benefits that they worked hard for. You know why? Because they have no conscience. Because they have no concern. Because they have no critical thinking skills. So why are we raising children who have no conscience, who have no concern, who have no critical thinking skills, all in the name of we don't want to feel like we've been disrespected by a 5-year-old who asked the question why? We got to think. We've got to think. So again, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Just like I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't beat your child and then film it and put it on Facebook. I'm not going to tell you not to do that. But I'm going to say to you, perhaps you might want to think twice about doing it. Perhaps you want to think about the long-term repercussions of your actions when it comes to children. Because there are a lot of children, now adults, who are out here lost without a clue. Because no one taught their parents any different. And again, this is not a criticism, because we only do what we know. I have this approach. I take this approach because this is the approach that my parents took with me. See, I was that kid that asked why. I was that child that was told why. I was that child that walked through the world with an understanding of how things work because my parents took the time to explain it to me. Even to this day, as a grown woman, if I go to my parents and I say, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, and my father says, well, I don't know if that's a good idea. You know what the first thing out of my mouth is? Why? I'd like to know why you don't think it's a good idea. I'd like to know why you are advising me against it. I deserve to know why, because there's obviously a reason there. And if you make me aware of the reason now, it will prevent me the next time a situation like this comes up and I don't have you to tell me yes or no from making a mistake again. Or it will inspire me to think critically for myself And while keeping in mind what you have to say, make decisions for myself, because eventually you won't be here and I'm going to need to be able to make these decisions for myself based on facts. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear where I'm coming from? So I just want to encourage us as parents, particularly parents of young African-American children, to rethink, reconsider, not change, but at least reconsider the way that we approach parenting. Understand that the foundation that we lay now is going to determine how they operate, live, and whether or not they succeed in the future. And that just because our grandmothers did it this way doesn't necessarily mean that it's right for our children in 2016. Each situation that comes up as we parent our children requires thought, consideration, a level of consciousness. And we as parents have to take some time and understand what we're about, what we're trying to do, what our intentions are, who we are. I want to encourage you all, if you have some time, to get a book. It's a great book. I saw this author on Oprah, and I was trying so hard to get her on Kokomo before I stopped doing the show. It's called The Conscious Parent: Transforming Ourselves, Empowering Our Children. Shefali Saberi, I believe, is how you pronounce her name. And it's an incredible book. It's about really evolving as a human being and how that evolution will help you to be a better parent. And I'm going to tell you, I know this is something very new to many of us in the community because we just don't approach parenting that way. You know, I've heard a lot of people, well, that's what white people do. You know, white people, you know, they're the ones that treat their, white people let their kids do anything. White people let their kids talk to them any kind of way. I'm not encouraging you to let your children call you stupid or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you something about white folks, and then I'm going to leave this here because this is what I know. White folks teach their children that they are entitled to information. Hear me, because I'm going to say it one more time. White folks teach their children that they are entitled to information. Smart people of color teach their children that they are entitled to information, that the world is theirs for the asking, for the taking. Now, conscious, conscientious people will also teach their children that they have to be responsible with that information, that they have to be gracious in the way that they deal with other people, that they have to be giving and generous with the information and whatever they earn as a result of that information. But still, they have a right to know why. We need to teach our children to ask why. All of these people out in the streets protesting are protesting because they are asking why. Why is this happening? And see, what happens is when we get to the why, we can start to work toward the solution. May God rest her soul, the late Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. I remember one day I was sitting in for my dad, and I've always had a tremendous respect for her, at least as an adult, when I was first introduced to her as a student at Howard, and I read the ISIS paper, and I'd always wanted to talk to her. And I knew that she called into my father's show quite a bit. And when I was sitting in for him, she called in. And I remember just, I mean, I went from talk show host, you know, to like interviewer. You know, she was the caller. I'm interviewing her. Dr. Wells, I need to understand, when we have the information, what do we do? What do we do? What is the next step? And she kept kind of pulling me back and saying, understand this. Before you can get to the point where action is necessary and effective, you need to understand why things are the way they are. You need to understand how things work. You need to ask the right questions, and you need to gain a proper understanding. And once you do that, then you begin to move forward. She said, and I'll never forget this, she said, don't stop asking why. Don't stop trying to understand. Don't stop questioning. Don't stop questioning. So again, the next time your child asks why. Ma, can I have this candy? No. Why? Give them an explanation. Ma, can I go outside? No. Why? Because it's dangerous out there, baby, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And I'm afraid that if you go outside, that something might happen to you. Now, let me sit you down and explain to you what's going on in the world today. And more importantly, let me explain to you what I think you need to do in order to protect yourself. What a wonderful opportunity to open up dialogue. Because I said so shuts it down, and nobody gains, nobody grows. Just my perspective, just the way fab girls do it, take it or leave it. I love you so much. Just want to remind you or tell you, because I haven't told you yet, that on February, oh, please forgive me because I am about to pull up this calendar real quick. I am such a bad podcast host. On February the 13th, I'm going to be participating in a program, a fabulous program with my good friend, Dr. Shane Perot. He is a marriage counselor, relationship counselor, and he's doing an incredible, he wrote this incredible book called The Manual, which helps women choose Mr. Right. It's basically about choosing Mr. Right and making proper decisions in your relationship and sort of becoming the woman that will attract healthy relationships. And so that's what this seminar that we're doing is all about. It's in Washington, D.C. on February the 13th, and I'm going to be posting information and a link to where you can buy tickets to this event, but I'll be hosting it, and I'll also be speaking at this event, and I hope if you're in Washington, D.C., you'll be able to join us. Again, that's February the 13th. It'll be in the afternoon, downtown D.C., but if you're not in D.C., you can actually participate via live streaming. We'll have the whole event stream, so I'll leave a link in the description of this podcast, as well as information on the book, The Conscious Parent, because I really want you all to check that out, and I'll leave my email, so if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if there's something that you want me to cover this year during the Fab Life podcast, you can leave it there. But I'm going to leave you now and just let you know that I love you so much. I am so glad, so gracious, so grateful, so humble, so blessed to be here with you in the new year. We will talk more and more and more. And until we speak again, make sure that you take care of yourselves and especially each other. Love you so much. Bye-bye.